Hi, ça va?
ايوه على الهواء بعد 90 ثانية، خليكي معي.
جاهزة جاهزة.
اطلع شارة.
اهلا بكل المستمعين، شكرا لاختياركم محطتنا. إذاعتنا ما فيها أخبار وإعلانات وما بتشبه بقية الإذاعات.
إرسالنا الموجة الجديدة، مركزنا هو الأرض وما عنا تردد، رح نبدأ فورا بالعرض.
ساعد كلنا سوا، شكرا لاختيار.
أعزائي المستمعين، وين ما كنتوا عم تسمعوا إذاعة كلنا سوا بدون تردد. نتمنى تقضوا معنا أوقات ممتعة ونسمع مع بعض أغنية بعنوان يوم اللي تغير العالم.
هتلاقي راشي ومطيع، راحوا الصالون وسبقوا الجميع، أخذوا مكانهم يا نيالهم، شربوا المدام من إيدي المدام.
عش الأوام يا عبد السلام، عش عش الأوام يا عبد السلام.
سهرتنا سهرة فوق الكلام، والله يا عبد هالشي. الشغل مو تمام اوعى تتهور يا عبد السلام كله على كله اوهام باوهام
ما بدك هالسهرة صالون المدام المدام المدام
علقت شيلة شيلة اطلع شانل 2
اهلا وسهلا welcome to Hi Kifak Sava. This is the show that comes to you every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. here on KZSU 90.1 FM. And today we started a little bit late, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to be great. And because that we have a very special guest with us in the studio today, Mr. Tariq Assaman is here. اهلا وسهلا يا طارق.
اهلا فيك رمزي حبيبي.
اهلا وسهلا. So we're going to be doing a little bit of Arabic here, and I'll try to translate it because some words, as you know, Tariq, in Arabic, just, you know, you have to say them in the target language.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like shukran, like habibi, I don't know.
No, yeah, you want me to translate them?
Well, yeah, I guess so. We can start by that. Like, what do you think are the most important Arabic words that anybody visiting the Arab world needs to know?
Oh, I would say shukran, of course.
Okay.
Which is thank you.
You're polite then.
Yes.
Yes, good, that's good. And what else?
We drop a lot of habibi. Which just means like my love or my darling, but you can say it to anyone, a man, a guy, a woman, no matter what.
Really? You say habibi to a guy or a girl?
I just called you habibi.
Oh, all right. Wow. I'm blushing now. And you also speak like the Syrian dialect, Tariq?
Yes, very.
Yeah?
Yeah, very much, yeah.
But you can also speak what's called Fusha, the colloquial Arabic.
Yeah,
classical Arabic.
Yep, we have to understand news and to read the newspapers and some books. You need to speak that as well.
Well,
we don't use it as much, though.
Yeah, because I don't think that people understand quite that when you learn Arabic in class or you're in an Arabic university in the Middle East, that the kind of Arabic that you learn in class and that you read in newspapers and even you hear on the news is very different from the Arabic that you speak with or in with your family and with your friends in everyday situations.
It is. It is very, very different, and it depends on the areas. I came from Damascus, and only in Damascus, I know over 5-6 accents.
Wow.
In Damascus.
That's just in Damascus alone.
Just in Damascus.
Oh, wow.
Each area have their own, like, words sometimes, and they're different from area to area. And so the difference between, like, for example, Syria and Egypt, it's a different language.
Really?
It's a completely different, like, I mean, it's the same language, but it's a different accent. For someone who doesn't speak Arabic, they will say, this is not the same language, is it, right?
Yeah, well, let's see. How would you say hi, kifak sava in Suriya?
Oh.
Slonak?
That is true. So in Syria, in Damascus, they would say Slonak, but in Aleppo, for example, they would say Ichbak.
Ichbak? Oh, really?
Yes,
wow.
Which is totally different.
Wow. And what would they say in Egypt?
Oh, in Egypt, Izzayak.
Izzayak, wow. That totally sounds totally different.
Right?
Well, since this is a sort of a Lebanese center show, you know, we go Kifak, but I know in Jordan, and we have many listeners in Jordan, you know, as we speak, they say Kifhalak.
Kifhalak, true.
Where do they say Chefach?
I think maybe like in the Gulf countries, maybe Iraq as well.
Really?
Sometime.
Yeah. So all of these may mean how are you? And of course, the Fusha Tariq would be
كيف حالك؟ كيف حالك؟ Yeah, the Jordanian are the closest in this one.
Yeah, the Jordanians tend to be good people.
Yeah,
they stick to the Fusha more than anybody else. Well, I have with me in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, Tariq Assaman, who was kind enough to come in and sort of co-DJ with me. I've never done this before on my show. I usually have guests who come and go, but if you guys knew Tariq, you would know that he's such a great guy and so open to talking about everything from his background to his present stay and interest in the United States. I met him how long has it been now, Tariq?
Like a month now?
A month now, yeah. And we immediately clicked on so many levels, and I didn't know he liked music so much, but he came in today with a selection of great songs of music, and we did hear a couple of those songs to start off our show, and the last two songs we heard were actually chosen by Tariq himself, and they were by a group, Tariq, named Kulna Sawa.
Yes.
I had never heard of this group, frankly, till you sent me the CD. And since you sent it to me, I have been listening to it nonstop.
They're amazing.
Did you know anything about them?
Yeah, I know some.
Yeah.
So Kunasawa, I think they are one of the first Syrian bands who started playing like intricate rock, jazz with Arabic music. They started in 1999, I think, and they have three albums so far. The latest album is from an album. It's called Iza'at Kunna Sawa.
Oh, so that's the one we played.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Because yes. I chose two of them. One of them was Sahara Fi Salon El Madame, right?
Yes, yes.
That was the last track we heard. And that and that had the word Abdissalam in there, right? Mm-hmm. I love how they like, had Abdissalam rhyme with Salon El Madame.
Yes.
Yes. And that goes out to everybody named Abdissalam out there, right? I guess since the name was on the air here in California. And we started the set with Iza'at Kulna Sawa. And I thought that was very appropriate because it sounded like an Arabic radio station.
Yeah, that's what they were aiming to in their latest album. They were like, we are just like, if you hear all the songs, they're making it as a radio station album, which is a very cool idea. You need to hear the whole album to understand what's going on.
And I guess that was the first track because it kind of sounded like, you know, they were getting on the air. And, you know, with all our respect to Kulna Sawa, we weren't trying to plagiarize by using their music. But I thought it was a great beginning for our show together today.
It is. It's a very nice idea, yes.
Muhek. So notice I'm trying to do sound Syrian with the Muhek. And, you know, you have to correct me.
Mu.
I think my only reference to Syrian, you know, popular culture was Dored Laham. And Ghawar Toshi, and that's my generation. Habibi, you are still too young to know this.
We love the Red Laham, but not recently, though.
Really? Why not? What did he do? Well, this is very spontaneous, ladies and gentlemen, here on KZSU 90.1 FM.
He just came up a couple of days ago, and he talked about the. He said just bad things about the protesters in Syria now.
Oh, really? Dored Laham said
that? He's not supporting them, and they called some. They said just bad names.
Well, I think maybe we need to explain that Dored Laham, for you know, is sort of a classic figure on television and in film, and he was very popular in the 70s for a TV series he did that was called Sahanom. I think this is how the world discovered it. He comes from Syria. He's a comedian. He's also a very intelligent man, which is kind of why I'm a little bit shocked at these comments. He's getting, you know, older now, but he had the series and he would play this character called Ghawar Toshe. This character, everybody knew who he was, and so everybody picked up the Syrian accent all over the Arab world because they grew up listening to Dered Laham.
Yes, everyone knows Ghawar Toshe.
Ghawar Toshe. Then what did he used to wear in his shoe?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, it's a coupe cab. No, all right. So that's where Tade is from. He's from Syria, and you were born and raised there, Tade?
Yeah, I was born in Aleppo, and then I moved to Damascus when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and I also lived in Amman in Jordan for 5 years as well.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
The way I remember it, it was cool. I liked Jordan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not bad. Jordan's a good country.
Yep.
And it has good people. I think we have many listeners in Jordan because I was checking the Google map and we were, you know, to check how many listeners are. We have quite a few in Amman, Jordan, and it's very late there. So thought it for them to stay up late just to hear us is pretty much of an honor.
Thank you for everyone who's staying up late. I know it's very late now. It's like, I think it's 2 a.m.
Is it? 2 a.m. there. Yeah. But you know, tomorrow is Friday.
Tomorrow is Friday. So
Friday is the day off in Muslim countries.
They're going to be up.
Yeah, let them stay. We're worth it, right, Tade? We'll make it worth their while.
You're worth it, Ramzi.
Shukran. Likewise, but you're the one who's the guest of honor today, so it's about you, ya Tade.
I am honored.
Ahla wa sahla. So basically, we were going to go to this another song that Tade chose, and we'll talk a little bit about it. And the reason I haven't really introduced Tade with certain, you know, terms like he is this or he is that is because he pretty much does a lot of things. Are you a graphic artist? Are you a weightlifter? Are you a soccer player? Are you, you know? So we'll be talking a little bit more about his personal and political views, I think, being with everything going on in Syria. Later on in the show today, Tade is going to be with me until 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here on KZSU 90.1 FM. We're streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And we're very grateful to everybody who's with us on the air. Make sure to check the kzsu.stanford.edu website for the spelling of some of the names that we'll be using today, since they'll be Korean Arabic, and also stay with us for a lot more of songs in French, English, and Arabic coming to you, not only from Lebanon, but I guess with a real emphasis on Syria today. The most Reverend Catherine Jeffords Scorey will present the annual Haynes Lecture entitled Beauty and Power, Truth and Good, a 21st Century Quest for the Real, on Wednesday, June 1st at 7 p.m. in Cubberley Auditorium on the Stanford campus. The event is open to the public. Free tickets are available through the Stanford Ticket Office. And so we'll go back to our show, Tarek, and I think the song that you wanted to play for us, can you tell me a little bit about it? It's a brand new song to me.
Yeah, this band is called Itar Shama. It's by Rasha Rizak. Rasha Rizak is a Syrian artist. She used to be a singer for Cartoon Kids Show. She used to sing the songs on the cartoon show. And she told her story once. When she was started to sing those songs, she didn't tell her mother that she's doing this because her mother didn't like that, she wasn't supportive. So, and in the same time, whenever like they're watching a kids show, a kids cartoon show, and her mother like hear the song of the show, and she told Rasha, "Oh, Rasha, that's a very great voice. Who is this girl? Like, she have a great voice."
Wow. And she, it was just naturally talented.
Yes.
Wow.
So her mother like always admired the voice, but Rasha always used the nickname for her. And after like 5 years of this, Rasha decided to tell her mother, and her mother was amazed
really?
Of this, and she was like, "I'm totally fine. Like, you go and do whatever you want." And since then, Rasha came up and she made her first album, Itar Shama, with her husband.
Oh, so Itar Shama is actually the name of the group or the album?
Of the band.
Of the band,
yes.
Which is comprised of Rasha and her husband.
Yes, her husband is the guitarist.
Wow, that's nice. So yep. It's like a very talented family.
It is, yeah.
It is. And so the song you chose for us from the group, Itar Shama, mm-hmm. which, by the way, how would we translate to our listener? Like
Frame of wax.
A frame of wax?
Frame of wax,
Frame
yeah.
of wax. Okay, Wax Frame. Hey, that sounds like a good name.
Yep.
The band Wax Frame.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is what? Yeah,
it's called Matar, which is mean rain.
Rain, okay. And so we're going to be premiering this here on KZSU 90.1 FM today. This goes out to from Tare to...
my whole family.
Wow.
Love you all. بحبكم كلكم.
محلاك. طيب, all right. So here it is, and then we'll come back to talk more with Tare and play a nice selection of songs coming to you from the Arab world. Thank you for being with us today here on KZSU 90.1 FM.
Baby.
that was Sarbel Rouhana and his instrumental version of the song El Bint Shalabiya, a very popular song in Arabic. That was the instrumental version from one of Lebanon's finest musicians, Sarbel Rouhana. Before that, we heard Tanya Saleh and a song called Omar and Ali, sort of a play on the Shia versus Sunni. Let's see. I thought it maybe has some views about that, right? Because I'm thinking like Ali is like Shia and no.
I would say Ali is more like Alawite than
really?
Shia.
Tayyib, oh, okay.
It, and it could
I'm
be both.
Yeah. So, I think with Tanya Saleh, she's kind of like has both, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a product of both. And so the song, of course, is about peace between the two, right?
Yeah, of course it's about peace. There's no difference, like, there's not actually a big difference between Sunnis, Shia, or Alawites, and there should be only one.
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah.
There's another one to know, like, God willing. And before that, we heard Itar Shama', and the song was Matar, and that was a special dedication from Tariq to his family. We've been checking or hoping that everybody is listening at kcsulive.stanford.edu, or if you are in the Bay Area or in the Stanford area, it's right on the 90.1 FM dial. Tariq Saman is with me today, and he's brought with him a wonderful selection of songs that sort of, we have to admit, Tariq, you do have a sort of a fondness for Syrian music, both Syrian and Syrian American music.
Yeah,
right?
To be honest, all the music I got today are from Syria. So
yeah, you're not prejudiced at all yet, Tariq, right?
I know Lebanese music and art is better than Syria, to be honest. You have way more big names than us.
But you're saying you're like the more of the quality people.
Of course. I'm not a big fan of the new pop Arabic music a lot.
Really?
I like those local bands who cares about the quality and the lyrics more than like the popularity and the videos.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, in the Arab world, it seems to be like you have these artists like Nancy Ajram, who are truly, I mean, they're talented artists, but they get so much marketing that they overshadow groups like Tanya or people like Tanya Saleh that we heard earlier today, whose album Wehde is actually amazing, and groups like Mashrua Leila, I think, and certainly the group Itar Shama', who I hadn't even heard of. So thank you so much for bringing that to our attention, Tariq.
Sure.
So you wanted to tell us a little bit about yourself. You had told me a couple of stories, and I thought they would be good for the air.
About
your love for music, Tariq, and the fact that you actually served in the Syrian armed forces. Well, no, not armed forces, but you did the training.
I did it for 2 years and 3 months.
Is it mandatory?
It is a mandatory service. Yeah. We have to do it. We can't just skip it.
Yeah.
I loved music since I was a little kid. I used to work with my dad. He owns a design studio, and wherever I work, I always listen to music. I can't, like, it's very hard for me to pass a day without hearing music.
But don't they forbid you from hearing music in the Syrian army?
We can't, of course, we can't listen to music in the Syrian army, or like any entertainment devices or terms of entertainment. We can't enter them to the base. However, I always smuggled an MP3 player.
Oh, no. I hope they're not listening.
I hope they're not.
Yeah. So you snuggled an MP3 player, what, into your little tent or something?
Yeah. into the building. It's not a tent. So it was illegal. And I had to be a guard for 6 hours almost every day.
Oh, wow.
So I always have my MP3 with me, with my headphones and always extra batteries. And always hide them, even from my own friends. Sometimes, I hide in the bathroom and listen to the MP3, one song, and I go,
oh no,
Tariq, where have you been? Oh, I was in the bathroom, but I was actually listening to music.
Oh gosh, and you said you even would take it into bed and put it under the covers. Yes.
Yeah. I always I just put it in my ear and pretend I'm sleeping and listening to music.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make the comment I made before the show.
You can make it.
As I said, people were probably wondering what you were doing under the covers. You were just probably jamming to the beat.
I right?
Well, I mean, it is the army, you know, Tade. It's not like you have easy access to things, right?
True, true.
Anyway, but you've been in America, Tade, for a while now? Or?
For like 1 year and 5 months almost.
5 months. Mm-hmm. And you're actually working in the graphic design field now?
I'm a freelance graphic designer. I'm also taking some photography and painting classes.
Wow.
So I want to be a painter and a photographer too.
Inshallah. Well, you already are. I saw some of your you know, work. But what about the weightlifting now? You were telling me you had a story about the weightlifting.
I used to play goalkeeper a lot back in days, but I have a shoulder problem.
What was that from, lifting weights back?
No, it's actually from soccer.
From soccer?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what kind of like accident did you have? You were showing
me. I fall on my shoulder and I dislocated it. And that was 2003. And since then, whenever I do something wrong, I just dislocate again.
Yeah. So you have to be careful now. No more weightlifting for you. Nope. And maybe no more goalkeeping.
I'm still playing soccer, but not goalkeeping.
There's a name for people like you, you know.
What is it?
Masochistic. It means you're inflicting pain on yourself on purpose.
Sometimes I do.
Oh, right. Well, that's for another show and another. That would have to be a night show. It's only 4 p.m.
True.
Right. Anyway, so Habibi, you wanted to play another song for us, and you brought Omar Effendim.
Yes.
Why am I not surprised you brought Syrian American rapper Omar Effendim, who was at Stanford while back?
I met Omar twice. He's an amazing singer, and I love his album, and he's quite famous in Syria too.
Really?
And yeah, I saw that a lot of people know him. To be honest, I never met him before, but since I met him, I fell in love with him.
Really? And he's more like, I think he was, you know, raised in America for a lot longer.
Yeah,
than
I think
you,
he raised in Washington, D.C., yeah.
I guess what I wanted to ask you, Omar, about, Omar, thought it, was, you know, if the music by, you know, Arab-American artists, whether it be hip-hop or independent or even mainstream, is that something that people listen to in Syria? Like, would a typical Syrian teenager, for example, or listener, know who Omar Effendim is, or is he a Western product?
I will say yes. Whenever like we hear someone is like from Syria, even if he's singing in English or other language, we just feel proud and we're like, yeah, this guy is Syrian. Listen to his album. It's awesome.
Really? So even though he is sort of an American, you know, of Syrian origin, he's still accepted as being sort of an authentic.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Omar, like, he sings about the Middle East. He sings about Damascus, which was going to play now. He sings about Syria and Mother's Day. So most of his songs, it's about the Middle East. And
right.
Somehow, yeah.
So this album, Syrian Americana, I think, you know, has been getting a lot of rave reviews. And you chose,
Damascus.
Damascus. And I think here's where we're going to need you to help me with the translation. But doesn't he begin with the Nizar Qabbani poem?
Yes.
Hazi Dimashku.
هذه دمشق وهذه
كأسر وراحة
والبال
إني أحب وبعض الحب
ذباح.
Oh la la, طيب. This song goes out to everybody who's in love out there, I guess. Especially those people who are like maybe far away from each other and feel that love is sort of slaughtering, because it says, this is Damascus, this is where wine and fun go together, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. I am in love, but some of the love is literally slaughtering me. A very good song.
Yes.
I want to dedicate this one to anybody in love or any loving people out there. Also, very special dedication to Mahmoud, who lives in Michigan, who's been going through a difficult time and listens to this show all the time. Thought it. You don't know this guy, but he's an amazing guy. He's been going through quite a few obstacles and coming through like a champion. So we'll dedicate the song to him, and we'll have more dedications coming up later on. The song here is Omar Effendim. The song is Damascus. Our guest of honor is Mr. Tariq Assaman. Shukran for being here, Tariq.
Thank you.
Here's Omar Effendim.
Our first impression of Damascus is one of surprise as we notice the modern appearance of the Saraya Square in the center of the city. But our opinion soon changes as we step a few paces away.
What? I love, but I'm aware of the fact that certain kinds of love can slaughter you in the wrath. I'm a Damascene being, dissect me into haves and have not, but grapes and apples fall in your path. Open my veins with scalpels, hear ancestral dance of heart. Transplants can cure some of the past. Why does mind stay torn in half and minarets crying tears of absence? Like trees that so speak, years have passed them, you can hear them asking for civil rights to live amongst tears of jasmines. House cats take naps, relax.
Cosa más triste de este mundo, y así me siento yo por ti, solo por ti.
And this is how I feel for you.
No.
Reminders back when, how could I forget when my reaction to cardamom strong fragrance yet and still finds attraction? As proud fathers wait for a sweet daughter's face, I'm asking if my brute's heart and language are here. How am I supposed to make myself any more clear? Is clarification necessary with love so dear? So much so that there was no fear. How many Damascene bracelets were sold for this poetry here? Apologizing of the will, I'm wondering if my little siblings can hear. My parts been scattered cross coasts for years. Land is on horizons, floating sad at eyes of lost hopes.
Más triste de este mundo, y así me siento yo por ti, solo por ti.
And this is how I feel for you.
No.
And demonic ghosts, I battle garbage, rapid prose and rapid flows. That's apropos until no water's open to them. That's for sure. Identity of every misresembling a window, though. Is there no festivus for the rest of his history books can show? What will remain of poetry's originality if so? Many a brown nose and liar gets to have complete control. How we gon' ever write a verse that's fit with killers still approach? I bore the burden of my words upon my back until I grieve. What shall remain of poetry when it is finally relieved? The saddest thing in this world, my lady, is knowing that we were meant to be from the very start.
Cosa más triste de este mundo, y así me siento yo por ti, solo por ti.
And this is how I feel for you.
No.
تلون أخضر
تسألني عن ديني. That man, do not ask me about my religion. And that is a song that sort of is very popular right now when considering some of the, well, what am I going to say, Tarek, here, religious-based disputes or seeming disputes going on in the Middle East?
In the Middle East, yeah. It's, there's a lot of religious uprising now, I would say.
And you know, that really is part of the reason I wanted you to be in the studio today and come to talk to us about sort of the situation in Syria. We're watching a lot of news, and we hear about this uprising, and so many people are not sure whether to support this uprising, or is it like going to lead to a better Syria and a better world, or is it something that we should be fearing and looking at with caution?
Yes.
I mean, as a Syrian and a Syrian-American, but somebody who's lived most of his life over there,
yes,
I'm sure you would have some great insight to speak to us about.
I try to think that I do, but I don't think I do, actually. I don't think anyone actually knows what's going on right there now. As a Syrian, I really don't know what's going on. I know there's a lot of killing. I know people are dying. No. I know this should be stopped. No matter who's doing it, this should be stopped.
Right.
That's what I care about now. My opinion about if it's the regime is doing the killing or is it the protesters, my opinion about if the protesters is peaceful or not, it's not very important. And to be honest, we can't tell for sure literally what's going on. It's very hot. It's very it's just very, very bad what's going on. There's stuff I like about what's going on, which is the freedom of speech. We start to talk. For 47 years, no one can like said before, what are we saying now? Like some of the slogans, like Wahid, 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 Shab Suri Wahid.
Which means 1-1-1, the Syrian people are one.
Yes. I never dreamed I would hear such a slogan in the street of Syria.
Why not?
You know, it's a dictatorship. It's a police state. We can't say this. And it's very nice that I can hear this
really?
In my country.
Yeah.
I think it's very good. Unfortunately, though, people are dying for this.
Yeah.
So I do not. That's why I think I have no right to tell Syrians to go out, to go to the street and say slogans that might get them killed.
Right.
And why I'm sitting here in the Bay Area.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are safe here, but we also have a responsibility, perhaps, to sort of educate people about what's going on in
these
uprisings. Yes,
educate them, but I don't think we must, like, encourage them to go to the streets.
Right.
Especially,
right.
Like, I'm talking about myself, since I'm Syrian. If I really need freedom and I want to, like, say slogans against the regime, I should go to Syria and say this. I don't want get freedom for my kids through other youth Syrians dying
right.
in the street.
Well, yeah, but do you see the Syrian revolution or uprising or whatever we want to call it as mm-hmm. being sort of similar to what's happened in Egypt and in Tunisia? Or do you see it as sort of a separate kind of
I think movement? I think they're all the same. They started the same, but not anymore now. The Syrian regime is way more smarter and brutal than the Egyptian and the Tunisian regime.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's.
Wow.
I mean, still until now, I believe 80% of the Syrians are still supporting the president and the regime.
Did you say 80%?
80% or more.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah, it is. It is because I still see like all my friends on Facebook, all the people I talk to, they are still supporting the president. By themselves, not because they're afraid. Like, I see people just changing their profile picture to the President Bashar.
Wow.
I mean, no one forced them to do this. They're just supporters. They truly believe in him. And I have no problem with that. I mean, I'm okay with this. So I think it's very different because the Syrian regime is very smart. It's very good in brainwashing. Some people say the official Syrian media is stupid, and for me it's very stupid, and sometimes it's like it's very funny. They're just like making fun of people, but after a second thought, see how much people are still loving and believing them, I would say, wow, it's stupid media, but they know how to affect the Syrians.
Wow. Very good insight here, Tade. Thank you for you know, offering me that and coming in, because I you know, as teaching Arabic here at Stanford, I'm often sort of asked these questions about Syria, and I'm not too familiar with the point of view of the man on the street. And I think you're doing a good job of sort of representing your generation and your youth. You're 27, Tade,
yes.
Now. And so what, you were about 25 then when you left Syria?
Yeah, I was 25 when I left Syria.
Yeah, well, so you kind of represent the voice of your generation in a sense. I mean, I realize you're saying you're in the States and you don't really represent them, but up until 2 years ago, you were one of them, were you not? One of the people living there under that regime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So did you expect that to happen? Did you expect that 2 years later you would be seeing Syria?
No, I even didn't expect that after the Egyptian uprising. People start asking me, "What do you think is going to happen in Syria?" So my answer was, no way.
Really?
Yes.
Boy, were you wrong.
Yes, I was so wrong.
But you're probably happy to have been wrong.
So, I'm happy if there was no killing,
yeah.
But I can't use the word happy here.
Yeah,
and there's
I
think there's 1,000 people have died so far.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Like, versus 75 in Tunisia and 300 people in Egypt.
In
so,
Egypt,
you can tell how brutal, it's more brutal.
Yeah, and that's what's being reported anyway. Who
yes.
knows what the...
Who knows, maybe it's
are.
More, true.
Yeah.
Except, of course, 10,000 guys in prisons now.
Yeah, my gosh, thought it. Well, at least through the music of Syria and the Arab world, we're able to kind of maybe keep more people's morales up and sort of make these connections between East and West. This is the show, Hi, Kifak Sava, coming to you from Stanford University here at 90.1 FM. We're streaming live at kzsulive.com. stanford.edu. My guest for the day today is Tareq Essaman, who was kind enough to come in and offer us his insights as a Syrian-American activist, graphic designer, and also music connoisseur. He's brought a wonderful selection of songs and music that he's been playing. He'll be with us for a little less than an hour till the end of my show, and we'll be playing some more of his music in a little while. In the meantime, a couple of PSAs and announcements, and then a very, very romantic song sent to the people of Amman. This will be coming up in a few minutes. Is your apartment manager enforcing unfair rules that are overly restrictive to children? Are they limiting the number of people that can live in your unit or prohibiting children from playing in the common areas of the complex? If you have questions concerning housing discrimination with regards to families with children, call the Fair Housing Center of Project Sentinel at 888-FAIR-HOUSING. That's 888-324-7468. And a quick reminder that every Monday here on KZSU 90.1 FM, you have at noon the what we call the lunch special. That is one of the staples here at KZSU. And that show is hosted by Bird and brings in a wonderful selection of guests that come in every Monday and sort of talk about their area of expertise. The guests are often specialists in their field from the Stanford community, and they come in every Monday from noon to 1 p.m. to talk to Bird. I actually was interviewed on that show last year, and that kind of started my journey with KZSU, a wonderful journey indeed. The lunch special, 12 to 1 p.m. every Monday on KZSU with your host, Bird, where each week a Stanford professor or member of the local community brings music to play, stories to tell, and views to share. My show, of course, 4 to 6 p.m., is followed by Trent K's show, Ehili Aku Ahoy Mai, which comes on at 6 p.m. right after my show, so I hope you'll be tuned for that as well. And in the meantime, I'm going to go right to this very special song that's dedicated to very special people indeed in Amman. Here is a song that says it all. It comes to from the heart, I guess. Tamer Ashour, the song is Bait Kbir. Listen to those lyrics. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
ما عشت اتمنى قبلك يلي زيك مش كتير مش مجاملة عشان بحبك ده انت لي حاجات كتير هي كم مرة هقابل حد بيحب بضمير حد عاش عمره عشان يقول
That was Tamer Ashour and a song called Beit Kibir from the album Liya Nazra. And basically, I think something kind of funny happened during the song because Tarek here got some few phone calls going, you chose that song, Tarek. It's so unlike anything you'd ever hear. I guess you're not that romantic, yeah, Tarek.
No, I'm not. No, it's kind
you're
of...
Not, yeah, it'll, yeah. Come with, it'll come with age, you know. It's,
yeah.
It needs a lot. But basically, you know, that song was, of course, a song chosen by me and played for people in Amman who are listening to our show. And I hope that was sort of not too different from the regular spirit of the show, which tends to kind of play songs in French, English, and Arabic. Today we have a very strong emphasis on Arabic because we have Tarek Saman with us here at the studio.